Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now rocking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We have the one, the only Elijah Campbell hitting those switches. You hear the fader. He's making this thing happen, making this show sound good in your ear. Man, I'm excited about this week, man. Titans and Steelers, it's an excellent matchup. AFC clash, I guess we could call it. Only right that when you have the Titans and Steelers on the docket, only right you bring in Nate Washington, who played for both franchises. You know, he, the one who is the other half, the other third of the Nate and TD show, because, you know, we got Elijah Campbell in the mix too, you know, 33%. That's how we do it. And we're going to have him on to talk a little shop. Man, I'm going to get into the Steelers with him. Elijah, really want to ask him about that environment, you know, because that's something in talking to some of the players this week, you know, they talked about the excitement of going into that environment. So we'll get into that with Nate. As always, every week we have Forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders coming on, talk a little shop there. I think we need to get into a little bit of Julio Jones and the impact because, hey, man, Chris at one point was a deep threat that teams really had to be concerned about. Is Julio Jones one? I don't know for sure, but let's get Chris's take on that. And we'll also continue our tour around NFL Nation, the ESPN NFL Nation crew. I got my teammate, Brooke Pryor, coming on. Always good to talk shop with her. So that's what we're looking at. We're going to just briefly get into this game. And I'll say this, just I'll open up about Bud Dupree. And I just think, you know, in watching him, I'm almost certain that he's going to play. He actually looked really good. There's, if you go on my Twitter, you'll see a video on there. Just short of 2 minutes of a video of him, and there's just a bounce, and he looks good working on some of his moves. I could imagine he's extra excited to be out there. You know, this is a team that committed a lot of money to T.J. Watt will get the right brother. They committed to him. They drafted Dupree's replacement a year before he was able to leave, and Alex Highsmith, who, you know, he played for Charlotte. And Coach Will Healy?
Will Healy,
yeah. Formerly of Austin Peay. You know, he was one of his products. And make sure you watch 56 when you're watching the Steelers and Titans. So I'm sure there's some motion there for Bud Dupree. So I'm looking forward to that. I just think the defense overall, when you look at them, getting Dupree back is really good for them. And like I said, I'm almost certain that he's going to be back. That's excellent for the defense. But I will say this also. Derek Roberson had a solid couple games, you know, and I was talking to Jarrett Puffer, you know, from Titans PR, and he had made that note, and I said, you know what, you're right. He did have a solid couple games. He hit the dog mess out of that running back last week. I don't remember which one it was, but he hit the bull crap out of him. Then he had the sack also, so shout out Roberson. This is going to be an interesting game, too, for Kevin Byard, actually. We got to talk to KB about, you know, being back in Pittsburgh. He played there in 2017 when the Titans played there. He grew up a Steeler fan, you know. Always loved Troy Polamalu. He told me that Polamalu, his dad bought him a Polamalu jersey when he was in high school. Another guy that he also, you know, rooted for and followed a lot was Brian Dawkins. So you get a nice blend of safeties there. Actually, you know what, Elijah? Let's go ahead and listen to what KB said on Wednesday about being able to, you know, play at Heinz Field.
I actually played there in 2017 on Thursday night game. We got beat pretty bad, but it's always good to go up there and play, you know, the gold and black. Got a lot of respect for Ben Roethlisberger. Mike Tomlin, he said some pretty good things about me. I actually texted my dad. It was pretty funny because I was kind of joking with him because down at the Senior Bowl, you know, Mike Tomlin was down there, and I'm like, oh, this is Mike Tomlin, and they didn't even want to meet with me. They didn't meet with me. I didn't say they didn't want to, but they didn't meet with me, and I was kind of upset about that. But it is what it is. But I got a lot of respect for everything they have with their tradition, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and like you said, man, it's going to be a really good game.
So there was Kevin Byard, obviously excited to be able to play in a stadium that he always wanted to play. And funny story about Mike Tomlin in the Senior Bowl. Go figure, now Tomlin's saying he's kicking himself for not looking at him. He said, any guy that has double-digit interceptions, you got to look at. And you know what? Kevin Byard is definitely carried over what he did at MTSU. One of the other things that we're going to carry over is the Run TMC segment. Oh, can we get that music, please? Here we go. Get charged. All right, turn that down. Turn that down. The music. The music's going down. The lights are dimming. Here we go. And now, starting for your Houston Rockets at shooting guard number 11, Vernon Man Maxwell. Waxwell.
What you say? And now, starring in the color purple.
Oh boy,
Daddy Glover.
You gonna let that woman talk to you like that?
What did Dad say?
Maybe even sweep out the caboose.
Yo, oh,
what's
man.
Up, man, why you doing, bro? What's up with these Titans?
Hey, man, listen. Listen, we bat and lead off. Run TMC's bat and lead off today. So, yeah, we'll get into it, man. The Titans, man, they got energized, right? They had to return of Bud Dupree to practice. He had Zach Cunningham out there. Let me tell you something. Bud Dupree looked nice.
Man,
he looked good.
He's explosive, man.
I think that core stuff that he was dealing with.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
There's a bounce to him and watching him on Wednesday's practice. So that's a big plus. And you know what? Let's get into that, actually.
Sure.
We'll start off with Dupree. Obviously, you know, getting a return to Pittsburgh. He hasn't been, you know, designated to the active roster yet. But just the idea of having him in the lineup, from your perspective, you know, what does that mean to the Titans?
You talking about Zach?
No, we're going to go to Zach next, but we're going to talk about Bud Dupree.
Okay, man, when you talk about bringing Bud Dupree in, explosive. I mean, it's just one word, explosive.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that's got that body lean and is always disrupting plays. I mean, look at the games that he played in. He was always around the ball, and I think sometimes we get caught up in the numbers. He may not have the sack numbers, but look at the times that he's pressuring the quarterback and putting, you know, pressure on the quarterback to make him make mistakes, because when he's in the game, he makes the defense fast, physical, and brings a nastiness to this defense, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and especially like on the stunts, man. I talked about that last
Absolutely.
Week on the show. You know, with him being the you know, that slasher, and you have the whoever, whether it's, you know, Landry, Autry, sometimes they have him on the inside, you know, and Simmons on the outside, and Simmons is looping, whoever. But he has just a way of attracting attention, freeing other guys up.
Yeah, it is. And the one thing I love about him, it's kind of like this. You ever go barbecuing, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you start a fire. And then you add that. What's that liquid that you pour on the fire? I forgot what it's called.
Lighter fluid.
Lighter fluid, thank you. You went to Ohio State. The lighter fluid, it makes the fire bigger. And that's kind of like with this Tennessee Titans defense. They have a fire brewing. I mean, look at what they did last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have four interceptions. They're flying around the ball. And then you add Dupree, it just adds more fuel to the fire of this defense. Man, I'm going to tell you something. If you get him back and get the rest of these other characters back in the secondary, I'm going to tell you something. When you start getting into the postseason, this is a dangerous team now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, when things start rolling, and I would say Derrick Henry, well, a couple nuggets. Well, not even a nugget. It's been reported that Henry is going to be back. There are some specific things that you know, I know of that he's doing to get back onto the field, which is a really huge plus. Won't get too much into that, but I will say that it is very likely that he is back for the playoffs. Again, as Ian Rappaport reported, possibly for week 18. They're looking at the DeMarcus Lawrence situation and how he was able to get back. Now, Henry had some different things as far as the plate and everything that's put – you know, on the foot to make sure that the bone, you know, comes back together correctly, et cetera. But I am very, very confident that he'll be back in time to help this team on a Super Bowl run. Now, before that, I will say this. A.J. Brown will be back against the 49ers, but the Ooh. Yeah, no, the 49ers, because this week is the Steelers against the 49ers. Yep. He will be back. Ooh. I'm very, very confident of that. So a couple things in there, and you get that back and you have things going. How explosive and how potent can this offense be?
Very explosive, because now you don't just have some players out there. You have impact players. And A.J. Brown and Julio played okay last week. And then you have Derrick Henry. I mean, those are not just players. Those are three impact players, guys that can change any time of the game. I mean, especially with A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown was a little bit inconsistent at the beginning of the year. But bringing him back, you know, him having a new hunger and him wanting to play and him being out, I guarantee you he's going to come out and really try to dominate the game. And then you have Derrick Henry. You know, I know he's disappointed with being hurt, but just imagine, you know, the fire that's been lit under, you know, Derrick Henry. He already had a fire, but just imagine it being more. It's just going to make this offense better. And then you go with just imagine me and you being a defensive coordinator to stop these guys. Who are you going to double? If you double Julio Jones, you can't double Brown. If you try to take Henry out the game, then you got those big dogs on the outside. So, man, it's just so many guys that you got to take account of.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And when you have Julio Jones back in the lineup, you know, what does
right.
even though statistically you're not seeing a huge impact,
right.
what does he bring to the Titans offense? You know, and here's the thing. I wanted to ask you about this because you are a guy that – you know, when you were on the field, there was a deep threat element that teams were like, hey, look.
Yeah.
It may not happen all the time.
Right.
But when it does happen, it lightning and striking. So you know that personally. How does that impact the defense?
Man, it does, because the thing about it is when you have a receiver that can take the top off the defense, that safety is going to have to stay back. And then also he can't come in the corner and stop the run. That's number one. But number two, I think that, and this is my opinion, you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think – you know, Todd Downing is going to really use Julio Jones on those deep routes. And I'm going to say run those little intermediates like the dig routes, the comebacks, the curls and all that. But then when you get into the red zone, 20 going in, that's when he becomes dangerous. when you can say, okay, you go man-to-man, jump ball. Because the thing about it is, look at the times where Julio Jones would struggle. When he had to open up and go get the long one, that's when he got hurt. So if I'm Todd Downing, I got to be smart, catch those comebacks, those hitches and all those things, and let him make plays. But when I get in the red zone, who am I looking for? Big two, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking for big two. And the thing that's pretty cool about all of this is you go back to the Seahawks game in week two, the 51-yard completion. Just to throw some numbers in there, he hit 20 miles an hour on that. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching that. You know, he leaned to that corner, and then he stuck his foot in the ground and exploded upfield. And Tannehill threw it.
Yeah.
And you just saw him just kind of tuck his head and really – dig in and go get it.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to see. Now, you fast forward to this past game against Jacksonville in the third quarter. You know, he ran a similar route. And it's funny because after the game, he was asked about – because after he didn't get the ball, he kind of hopped.
Right.
And, you know, it's like you're expressing a little bit of frustration not getting the football.
Not
any injury. But he was like, man, I wanted the daggone football. I killed the safety. And I wanted the ball, but, you know, it is what it is. And I think just looking at the fact that they were willing to send him on that route and that he was able to run that route, and just number-wise, he was at 18 miles an hour, so a bit slower than earlier. But that's fine because, you know, there's a difference. Like back then, the hamstring was no issue whatsoever. But I think just being able to put that on film is very significant for them.
Absolutely, but also it builds confidence. It builds confidence in him, not just as a football player, but it builds confidence by him trusting in his hamstring. Because when you're consistently thinking, oh, if I do this, then my hamstring is going to tear or pop, but then all of a sudden you run the deep route, you're like, whoa, this kind of feels good. So that's why you saw him skipping. Yeah, he wants the ball. But after he ran that deep route, he's like, man, you know, I'm actually feeling pretty good, because he hasn't felt good this whole season. So when you run a deep route and you got a chance to open up, it builds that confidence. Say, you know what? Just throw me the ball, because I can definitely get deep.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's what we'll have going into this week. Anything about the Steelers stand out to you? Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool?
Yeah, they do. I mean, those are some big names, and they have some great players. But I just think with Roethlisberger struggling like that, I just think that his body language, and we get to him early, his body language is going to show that, man, I don't want to be out here, and we got to get him in that situation. The only thing that I'm kind of, you know, concerned a little bit about is our offensive line. I mean, you got Wormley, you got Hayward, you got Watt, you got guys that that sick the quarterback. So if we can block those guys and our offense doesn't make mistakes, I think we can definitely be successful in this game.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there, man. You expecting to win?
You know what? The reason why I think that they're going to win is because we're going to challenge the receivers, like you said, on the outside, and we're going to put pressure on Ben Roethlisberger to make him get frustrated and not want to play. But it's a tale of two similar teams. They got pretty good defenses, but they got two quarterbacks that are struggling. Which quarterback's not going to struggle? So I say the Tennessee Titans 21. I say the Pittsburgh Steelers 10.
10-4 Titans, according to Forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders, a.k.a.
Amen.
Clyde Drexler. I appreciate
Amen.
You.
Hey, man, I was walking
no.
the back one day, man, and this dude said, man, that dude you do the radio with said he looks like Clyde Drexler.
Oh, Mario Ellie looking fool.
Man, I appreciate you, Doc. Let's go get this win.
All right, for sure.
Freeze out. All right.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Can I live? No one man can stop me. Can I live? No front line to block me.
All right, you hear the music back from the break. Anytime you hear the LOX, ladies and gentlemen, it is only going to be followed by my man, the partner of the Nate and TD show, coming sometime, but you're going to get a segment right now, and that's Titans and Steelers receiver Nate Washington. Nate, what's going on, man?
Hey, like Kiss said, man, I'm outside. I'm outside. What's up, TD?
What's going on, man? I appreciate you coming on. I know you're on the move, man. That's what happens, you know, when you have daddy-daughter duty. So I get it, man. I appreciate you giving me a second. So we'll just get right into it, man. When you look at this matchup, right, you know, you saw the schedule. You saw the Titans versus Steelers on the schedule. What's the first thing you thought of when you saw that?
A physical ball game. Definitely a physical ball game. That's the first thing that popped in my mind. Now, I'll say this. Unfortunately, my Steelers haven't been as physical as I would like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always a battle, you know what I mean? Like, these are another one of those classic battles that have been going on for decades. The Steelers and the Titans have always been a clash, and I think it'll go back to that. I think this will definitely be a physical game. I think it'll definitely be some big plays that'll be made. Both defensive have been playing well, but I think that Steelers defense is going to have some time on their hands, especially with Julio coming back and his notoriety and the things he's bringing to the table. I think Dante's been running the ball well. So I'm looking forward to a good game. You know, obviously the Steelers offense is unique and they're explosive. So the Titans defense will have a battle on their hands, but I'm definitely looking forward to a physical ball game.
It's really interesting you mentioned the Steelers offense, because in watching them, you know, they pass the ball more than any other team in the red zone, and especially the low red zone. And so Deontay Johnson, he's a guy they like to go to. And I want to ask you about it, because I remember your Steelers team, you know, you guys, you know, put you out wide. You let you run the slants, the fades. Santonio Holmes, obviously the big-time catch in the touchdown in the Super Bowl, you know what I mean? And that's something that you guys did well. What's the key to being so effective in the red zone, especially that low red zone area, passing the ball?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. This is the evolution of Ben Roethlisberger, because in all honesty, when I was there, you know, we were heavy run first. A lot of our big plays came from play action plays. So, you know, with that being said, the Steelers were – that offense at that time was always based on the run game. You knew what you were getting when we walked in the building. No matter what we had on the outside with me, Hines, Santonio, and Heath, you knew for sure we were going to run the ball and we were going to capitalize off of the run. But here it is, you have a Ben that's now able to come out first, second down, audible, understand how the defense is covering, what they're able to provide, and he's able to attack those weaknesses. So now they're able to come out first, second down, and throw the ball around to be in the low red zone and not have to rely on a physical run nature, even though, you know, that's always been our identity. But not necessarily have to rely on that anymore and come out on first and second down, even in low red zone, and put some points on the board.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And what are your thoughts on, and we're talking to Nate Washington, former Titans, former Steelers receiver, is perfect for this week. What are your thoughts on the receivers there? Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool. What do you think of those guys?
Definitely Deontay is an up-and-coming receiver.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's getting more consistent with his hands. I think last year he kind of had some key moments where, you know, those things were suspect in the moment they were relying on him. But I think he's understanding and is accepting his role a lot more for being their number one target and the guy that they're relying to get open and make big plays in that regard. I think he still has some growing to do. I think this bunch in itself is pretty young and still has some growing to do. But, you know, all in all, talent-wise, I love Chase Claypool. I love what he brings to the table. He does an excellent job with his size, makes plays on the go ball, definitely a big play receiver. Obviously, though, I'll allude to my brother Ryan Clark. He's definitely mentally immature. You know, he's got a long way to grow up. I understand. I'm not going to be that old head right now to beat the young guys up about what they got going on. But at the same sort, you know, it's only one way you're going to win the Super Bowl. And if you only playing this game for money and notoriety and not the ultimate goal to put that ring on your finger, you're wasting your time. So with that being said, like, the ultimate way you're going to win that Super Bowl is being a team guy at all times. It's never about you. So he definitely got some understanding to grow in that department. But other than that, I think he'll pan out and be a good guy.
On the flip side, the Titans receivers. Obviously, A.J. Brown is out. Julio Jones is still working his way back in. But other guys have stepped up, namely Nick Westbrook, Kenny. At one point, you were that guy that emerged on the scene. Obviously, on a larger scale because you became, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber player. What do you think of Westbrook Ikhine and how he's been able to, you know, come out and take advantage of the opportunity that he's had?
Major take right here, TD. Major TD Nate take right here.
Uh-oh.
Ikhine has been the most impactful receiver for the Titans this year.
Mm.
Hands down. Because of his reliability. Obviously, we know who A.J. Brown is. Obviously, we know who Julio is. We know what they bring to the table on any given Sunday and all of the games that they have played in this year. We know what they bring to the table. But when we're talking about Sunday, not knowing who's on the roster, playing with a bunch of guys out or a bunch of guys injured, and you need to go to a guy on third down, or you got a guy about to need to score in a low red zone, who's been that guy? Westbrook Ikhine. Like, you cannot deny that. And without him and his reliability right now that he's been for this offense, the reality of it is I don't know where they would be, because the true essence of A.J. and both Julio being missing the number of games that they miss, he's been the only one dressing every game. And to have that reliability there has been great. Don't get me wrong. Rodgers has been doing a great job as well, making the plays that he's been making. But when we're talking week in, week out, I'm telling you, man, it has surprised me the reliability that he's given this offense, and he's come out of nowhere. They needed a guy like him. They needed somebody to definitely be that third, fourth receiver that can be a backup to all of those guys, know all of the positions, can play inside and out, and still be impactful on special teams. So he's been doing a great job, man. I'm proud of him. Like you said, being a guy that had to work his way up and try to climb that totem pole from the bottom, man, is definitely dope to see another guy going through that process.
Yeah, and he's consistently caught the football, which is something. Because in camp, I joked with him about I said last year, man, like, you were always getting a physical altercations with the football, but now it seems like, you know, you're willing to allow that thing to come to you and catch it, and you're doing that comfortably. So you're right there. Before we get you out of here, you've been on that field, you know, Heinz Field. In both perspectives, but as a guy who has called that his home stadium, is there really something to that? You know, like when they play the Renegade music or just the whole environment, is there something to that where you guys truly feel like, hey, man, this is an advantage that we have?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you, TD. 2008, AFC Championship versus Baltimore. It's freezing cold outside. We're at home. freezing cold outside, obviously going into the fourth quarter. And I'm going to be honest, like, I never even reflected on the song in the moment that they played it until I was retired now on social media, seeing, you know, everybody post it and have their comments about it. Because when I was on the field, literally, when I was playing at that time, for me, it would come out of nowhere. Hmm. And it was literally like an insurgence, like, of energy. It was almost like pumping adrenaline in your heart, giving a long needle and pumping adrenaline in your heart, because it would spur you out of nowhere. And so to hear it, to see the atmosphere change, man, we used to, at my time of playing, there used to be a guy in all of the cold games would run down the stadium stairs in the north end of the stadium and just pour beers on himself, man. It would be freezing cold outside. No shirt on, the crowd would go wild. It was just insane. So that song, that atmosphere, it would be remorse for me to not even set the tone for exactly what it does for that stadium. It's a boost of morale. I don't care how much you're down. In that moment when that song is on, that stadium is on 10, and it will forever be on 10.
There you have it right there. You have just been blessed with 10 minutes of the Nate and TD show. I appreciate you coming on, my brother. I know you got stuff to do. And thanks again, man. And we got to catch up at some point.
No doubt, man. All respect to the cheer families out there, man. Y'all know how intense it is.
Oh, yeah.
So we headed to cheer.
Oh, yeah. Cheer I feel the struggle. Trust that.
Right, right.
All right, my guy.
All right, all up.
All right.
This is J.M. Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
All right, back from the break. It's Yours by Wu-Tang. That's pretty much what the city of Pittsburgh said when my partner right here, my homegirl, Brooke Pryor, ESPN, NFL Nation Steelers reporter, they said it's yours when she got to Pittsburgh, and she's done an excellent job covering the Steelers. I followed along. Brooke, how you doing?
I'm not bad. I'm just trying to be like you in Nashville. You set the bar, so I've got a lot to live up to.
You know what? I may have set the bar in Nashville, but you set the bar across the nation. Because when I turn on ESPN, when I turn SportsCenter on, I see you more than me. So you're doing something right.
I'm covering a team that keeps it interesting in a wide-open division that can't either become irrelevant and also can't get to the top of the division. They are just... I mean, they're in the thick of it, and I appreciate that because that keeps our jobs interesting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you definitely have to appreciate that. A part of that keeping things interesting is the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. So I guess we'll start there. And, I mean, what do you make of this whole situation, right? Obviously, you know, the Chase Claypool deal is somewhat behind them. But, you know, he came out and he said, hey, that's not my responsibility. That's the head coaches. And he named Mike Tomlin by name. What do you like? How is that something that they're going to be able to overcome?
You know, it's been a topic of conversation here, definitely. And Ben has talked about it again today. And this time, I think he owned his leadership role a little bit more. I asked him about it. And he said, look, I mean, it is something that I have talked to with him about it. My locker is just a few down from his. We had conversations after the game. I said that I appreciate him because he kept us in the game, and he did. He had two crucial catches, including the one he celebrated on was a fourth down catch. He doesn't make that, and the game's over.
Right.
It was what happened afterwards that really kind of took some opportunities off the board for them at the end. But he said, I told him I appreciated him. We've talked about it. We've had conversations in the past. You know, essentially, he's a young kid, and he has to grow up. I think that is the consensus in the Steelers building. I think what Mike Tomlin said Tuesday was especially strong, where he said, you know, they come to us from the draft as unfinished products, and it's up to us as coaches to pour ourselves into them to get them to be the best that they can be. Chase Claypool's in his second year, but he's only 23 years old, and when you consider the fact his first year, the COVID year. I mean, there's no real regularity there. And one thing that Trey Turner talked about when I asked him today, you know, how do you mature in the NFL? He's like, a lot of it is getting into a rhythm and just getting into your routine. And when you consider the fact that, like, Chase Claypool hasn't had that, it's been kind of bumpy up and down. I mean, 1 week you're in this protocol, 1 week you're in the next. There's just not a whole lot of normalcy. I think that that's a part of it. But I do think, though, that the guys are saying the right things that they want to help him get on track. But, I mean, this is up to Claypool to get it figured out, because the first down celebration was not the only sign of immaturity and a lack of awareness and accountability. I mean, first of all, the explanation afterward was not great when he said, you know, I was celebrating and the official wasn't even there, so it's not like I could have turned to give them the ball. Like, no, you run to him and give him the ball. Like, that speeds it up. It's not on the official to get there to keep you from wasting time off the clock. You have to initiate that. But just, you know, I think it was 2 weeks earlier, he was asked, hey, what needs to happen at practice for it to be better? And he said, we could play music, which in and of itself could be, you know, an earnest response and something that maybe it would really help him, but there's a lack of awareness there that when your team just got absolutely blown out by the Bengals and your teammates are talking about, well, we need to you know, do this faster, take more reps, walk through with more purpose. We need to put the pads on. And your suggestion is to play music. It just comes across as tone deaf.
Yeah.
He's had other plays where he's just completely given up after Ben's intercepted on a ball that's targeted for him. I mean, it's been a pattern here. And I think that as much as his teammates want to help him, he has to figure it out himself. Otherwise, just this immaturity is going to continue to cost them. And it already cost them an opportunity to potentially tie that game Thursday night and have this incredible fourth quarter comeback. And instead it falls short when 10 seconds run off the clock as he points and flexes on first down.
Has Mike Tomlin lost that locker room? You know, because that's something that you see some of the national people saying, and, you know, fans outside looking in. You have your pulse, you know, your finger on the pulse of that organization. Has he lost it?
I don't know that he's fully lost it, and I think too much of Mike Tomlin's coaching abilities to think that he's lost it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that this new group and this younger group poses a challenge, especially as the older guys age out. This is likely one of Ben Roethlisberger's last games. There are 4 games left in the regular season. And then, as Adam Schefter reported, he's telling people that this is his final season in Pittsburgh.
Mm.
You have a guy like Cam Hayward, who this is not his last season by any means, but he's in the home stretch here. And when you look at the other turnover guys, like Vince Williams retired, David DeCastro is gone, Marquise Pouncey retires, their veteran leadership core that was continuing the Steeler way, that had firsthand knowledge of the original Mr. Rooney, they are gone now, and they can't quite impart that same wisdom and kind of hone in on this is why the tradition is important to the younger generation, guys like Devin Bush and Chase Claypool. And that message is kind of lost. And this is the thing with the younger generation of players in general. This is happening all over the league. I think it is so much starker in Pittsburgh, because they've been able to maintain the Steeler way and the standard is the standard for so long, because they've had these living legacies around them for so long, and a lot of that's going away now. So to me, one of the kind of red flags of how dire this situation is I asked Mike Tomlin after the Bengals loss, I said, do you think that this team heard your message? Because you're saying the message against the Ravens is the same one, but was the last one you gave effective? And he kind of laughed, and he was like, no, I guess it wasn't. And to me, I'm like, oh, my God, like that's troubling. But then they go out and beat the Ravens, and so it shows, okay, well, he can still get through to them. But I think that you are just constantly fighting this division within the locker room of younger guys like Devin Bush, like Chase Claypool, that aren't owning a lot of their mistakes, seem to be deflecting blame on others. I mean, Devin Bush has asked, hey, you know, you've kind of struggled yourself. What's kind of going on? And he says, well, it's not just me. Nobody on the Steelers is playing up to their potential. And if you want to be a leader, the answer should be something more like, well, I can't speak to everyone else. I know we're losing, but I know that I am not doing what I should be doing. And you don't flip it around on everybody else. But I think there's a division between guys like that, between look at me guys like Chase Claypool, and then some of the quieter, you know, just kind of put your nose to the grindstone and go to work, guys like Deontay Johnson and Minkah Fitzpatrick. And that's just kind of the two dynamics of the locker room. They are very much competing dynamics. I mean, earlier in training camp, Minkah Fitzpatrick and Chase Claypool got into a fight.
Hmm.
And that, you know, we're not allowed to fully report on everything that we saw, but a player confirmed it afterward. And to me, that moment becomes more and more pivotal the longer we go in the season, is kind of being the picture of the dynamics in the locker room and some of those internal struggles.
Really interesting tidbits that you dropped there. I guess another question for me. So Bud Dupree, he was designated to return to practice. Got to watch him on Wednesday. He actually looked pretty good. Like, there was a lot of bounce to him, and he looked kind of closer to the guy that dominated in Pittsburgh. And I know it's a different situation. You probably didn't get to move to all of the linemen and talk to all of them, but have you gotten to talk to any of them about just being able to go against their former teammate Dupree?
No, we haven't. The only guy that we've gotten so far, lineman, is Trey Turner, who wasn't in Pittsburgh last year. But I do think that it's going to be an interesting dynamic if he gets activated and plays on Sunday. Because I think one of the concerns with, like, TJ Watt, he's a guy who is obviously incredibly talented, gets this big payday in the off season, but there's still the thought of, well, can he be as productive if Bud Dupree isn't on the other side of him? Because that's part of what made him so good, is that he was balanced by Dupree. So you can't just go all in on stopping TJ Watt, because Bud Dupree is going to make you pay. But I think that there has been less of a drop-off than expected with Alex Highsmith. They really like what he's been able to do. I mean, he was getting more playing time than Melvin Ingram, which is what Ingram was told coming into the Steelers. He thought he was better than Alex Highsmith. That did not pan out, and Ingram ends up forcing his way out in trade because Alex Highsmith is really good, and now TJ Watt, even though he's missed, I think, three totals, I think he's missed at least a half in each, and then two other games, he still leads the league in sacks. I mean, he's having an incredible season, and to me, I think it should be elevated even more because he's been able to do it without Dupree and prove that he can be good, not by himself, but he doesn't have to be in the perfect position to be the dominating player that he is.
What's the overall mindset? And we're talking to Brooke Pryor, ESPN, NFL Nation, Steelers reporter. From what you've gathered, what's the overall mindset as far as the approach to this year? Obviously, they don't feel that it's over, but, I mean, is there really a true belief that this is a team that could push not only for the playoffs but possibly for the division, even though they're at the bottom of it?
Yeah, it's really hard to say because, I mean, you look at the division, they're 6-6-1, but the Ravens are only, I think, 8-5. Mm-hmm. They could still win the division. Like, that's not out of the question. Making the playoffs is not out of the question when the two teams ahead of them are 7-6. Everybody can beat themselves up, and somehow the Steelers could be the last team standing. But to do that, they have to win out, and they're very singularly focused on the Titans, as every team will tell you before they play any given opponent, that is the one thing they're looking at. But, you know, at this point, I think the Steelers take some encouragement in the fact that, hey, we came back in the fourth quarter against the Vikings. We were this close to winning after just getting absolutely destroyed for 2.5 quarters. But on the flip side, they did get destroyed for 2.5 quarters. And so it's, again, this kind of competing ideals here of, well, are we going to be the team that can come back in the fourth quarter and can run a no-huddle offense and the defense can finally get some stops? Or are we going to be the team that just makes every single running back look like Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Charles and Dalvin Cook combined and can't get the offense up and down the field? I mean, it's very much a Jekyll and Hyde team. And I think the Steelers themselves, because of that, they're not really ready to make proclamations one way or the other that, yes, we believe in ourselves, or no, you know, we just want to get through this kind of thing. I think that they still think there's hope, but it's tough to get a read on how they're feeling, much like it's tough to get a read on what the direction of the Steelers team is with 4 games left in the season.
And last thing, Brooke, you said obviously that they are focused singly on this Titans team. So from the people that you've spoken to, what's the feedback? Like, what are they expecting from this Titans team that is about to hit the road and come up to Heinz Field?
Yeah, I think that it's an interesting team because the run game that the Titans had earlier in the season with Derrick Henry was a lot more formidable than what they have right now. But like Mike Tomlin said Tuesday, the run game is the run game. Still, it's different if you have Henry versus Foreman in there. I think that they're definitely focused on that. They haven't talked a whole lot. The guys that we've talked to, we had Buddy Johnson, who played 6 snaps on defense, talked to him today, and then Trey Turner. They're focused a lot on how they themselves can improve a lot of things with, like, up front with the offensive line needs better communication, things like that. But that's an area that I think that Tennessee's defensive line can exploit, because the Steelers' offensive line has really regressed on the last couple weeks since Kevin Dotson's injury. Kendrick Green has plateaued, if not also kind of regressed as a center. And then I think in the run game, like I said, yeah, the Titans don't have Henry, but lots of running backs have had a lot of success against the Steelers. Devin Bush coming off that ACL injury. It's not so much a physical thing at this point. It's a mental thing. He compared it to, you know, if you get bit by a dog, then you're kind of hesitant the next time you go to pet a dog. And you can see that he's kind of slow in processing his reads or hesitant to make a tackle. So that's an area where that middle of the field is really soft. And I think that they can really, that the Titans can really take advantage of that. But I'm interested to see this matchup. You know, the Steelers have talked about how it's always weird when you play the Titans, because it feels like they're kind of like Buffalo. Like, they're not in the same division, but they always see them. So I'm excited, mostly because it's a game at Heinz Field and I don't have to travel. I'm sorry that you do have to go back on the road.
Oh, but I don't mind.
I am thrilled to have a 15-minute drive to the stadium on Sunday.
I hear that. Well, you know, I'm excited about getting to travel, because I'm going to catch up with one of my teammates from college. So that's what excites me. And as anytime the Steelers and Titans play, I'm excited, because it means that I got my homie on talking with TD, man, and it doesn't get better than that.
I like I said, I am thrilled when they play, because I get to see your whiteboard lessons, and they're always super helpful, and I learn a lot. But when you apply it to guys that I watch every day, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you're educating me, and I am better for it.
There you have it. One hand washes the other. I appreciate you so much coming on. I look forward to catching up with you. We'll definitely have to, talk a little shop before the game, and we'll take it from there.
Absolutely. See you this weekend.
All right. See you later. So that was Brooke Pryor. Always good to have her come on and talk shop. I love, Elijah, how much in-depth she gets into these questions. It kind of limits how many you could ask, but, you know, you're getting a bunch of information every time she comes on. She makes sure of that. So I appreciate Brooke. We had Nate Washington, former Titans and Steelers receiver, coming on talking shop. Shout out to Nate Washington, the Nate and TD show. Chris Sanders, forever Titans receiver as well. Even though he looks like Mario Ellie, I'll give him a pass for that. But, yeah, man, a shout-out to you for coming on. I appreciate that. And you know what? One other shout-out, you know, why this music is going. My IG got hacked. And the person that hacked it, I'm back. You couldn't beat me. And just for GP, because karma has a way of coming back to you, I hope you walk on Legos barefooted. I'm out on that note. Make sure you tune into Whiteboard Wednesday. We have that on ESPN.com. Got a Julio Jones post coming. What to expect from Julio Jones down the stretch. All the more talking shop, talking with TD right here on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Make sure you check me out on 102.5 The Game. Chasing TD show. Chasing TD. I'm going way back. The Darren Donick and Chase show. Everything, man. You know, Robbie Stanley and Rex Road. We'll get all of that in there. The TD Power Hour, make sure you tune into that. I'm winded, so I'm not going to talk anymore. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.